All good. James chapter 1, near the back. What we've just read is all about trials, tests, and temptations, which in this passage that we've just read are actually different ways of talking about the same thing. So let's just think for a minute. What is a test? I remember in year 7, the first science experiment we ever did, and it was kind of exciting that we were doing a science experiment. Looking back, it was probably the most boring one we ever did, because it was just the start of year 7, and they weren't quite sure whether they could let us loose on Bunsen burners yet. So this test was a hardness test, and we did the theory that different materials have different hardness, and so we'd get a bit of wood, and we'd get a coin, and we'd run the coin along it, and we'd go, oh, the coin makes a mark in the wood. That means the coin is harder than the wood. And then we'd get a bit of glass, and we'd get a coin, and run along it, and oh, the coin doesn't make a mark in the glass. That means the glass is harder than the coin. So the whole point is the science experiment, it didn't change anything. We weren't changing any acids into gases or any of that. This was a test to find out what the stuff was made of, what kind of properties the stuff we had in our hands had. Was this bit of glass made of hard stuff or soft stuff? Well, the big idea of this passage that we've just read is that the tests of life will show up what you are made of. That is, the things that happen to you in life will show up what kind of person you are. And in this passage, so today we're looking at from verse 12 down to verse 18. In this passage, there are two possible kinds of person that you might be. There are two possible directions that your life might be heading in. There are two possible destinations that you might be going to. One possibility is that you are the person described in verse 12, where it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." So if you're that person, you're a person who loves God. And when trials come along, you keep on loving God. If that's you, then your destination is what? You with me? The destination is the crown of life. The destination is life for eternity in the presence of the God that you love. Think about that for a minute. The one that you love, eternity with him in his presence, can't get much better than that. But there's another possibility in what we just read. The other possibility is that the trials of life might show up that actually you're the kind of person who's described in verse 15, where the destination is death. And this is this is talking about more than just when our bodies stop breathing. This is talking about death in its fullest meaning. This is talking about death in our souls, cut off from the love and the life of God. And it can't get much worse than that. And so we all start out to some degree in the same place. Our lives will take us to one destination or the other. We're particularly talking about the trials of life. And the trials of life particularly refer to those times that are difficult, those times when we feel under pressure. Because, isn't it true, when everything in life is nice and cruisy, it is actually reasonably easy to do the right thing. When everyone else is nice to me, it's easy to be nice back. when my plans are all working out as I'd intended, it's easy for me to be cheery and happy and easygoing. When everyone around me is following Jesus, it's easy to go with the flow, isn't it? But when you go through those times that people treat you wrong, when you go through those times where all your plans get messed up and all your friends are going down a different path, those are the times of testing that will show up what you're really made of. Those are the times where either you'll stand the test, your faith will be strengthened, and you will progress towards the crown of life, or you will fail the test, you will be dragged further into sin, and you'll take another step down the path towards death. Now, at this point, I think I need to ask a question. I need to say, where's God in all this? Has God just sort of put us in the middle and left it up to us to pass this test? Or even worse, could it be that God's sitting back in his couch on the sky with his all-powerful remote control, throwing things down into our lives to see if we're going to succeed or to see if we're going to trip over them? Is God the kind of God who's watching and waiting for us to fall so then he can go whack? James says, no, not at all. Verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And next verse, verse 14, it makes clear that, no, it's not God who lays the traps in our life. In fact, it's us. In fact, we are out to trap ourselves. I'll explain that. What James is saying is that the path towards death actually starts with our own desires. And yet, there's bad stuff in the world around us, true. But question, why are we so easily drawn into it? If we're really honest about ourselves, you have to admit, no one forces us to have selfish desires. No one forces us to be greedy. No one forces us to have lust. All of those desires, we manage to produce all of those desires on our own. Because the Bible says we're not actually born as good people. The Bible says we are born as sinners. It goes right back to the beginning. It goes back to when Adam and Eve rejected God's word. Something actually happened to human nature, so that everyone who comes after them take on this nature of Adam the sinner, not Adam the good man. So everyone born since then is born with this tendency to fail the tests of life. The path that we're born onto is not the path towards the crown of life, it's the path towards death. And you might think, that's not very fair, is it? That's not very nice. And have that conversation over supper. Is it fair that we're born that way? But more important than whether it's fair, is it true? Are we really like that? And I reckon if you look around at the world, the real world, you'll find that what the Bible says about human nature is true. Question, does anyone remember having a baby brother or sister? Yeah, okay. Question, did anyone have to teach them to be selfish? Did anyone have to teach them to throw a tantrum? Did mum and dad have to sit them down and say, look, I want you to learn how to get your own way over others and manipulate your brothers and sisters? Or did they figure that out for themselves? When we grow up, we get a little bit smarter. We learn to mask our desires a bit. We don't have so many tantrums in Woolworths. But the selfishness is still there. Verses 14 and 15 say the path towards death is a process. It starts with a desire. It starts inside us. The kind of language that James uses is it's like you've got this desire that gets pregnant, and then it has a child named sin, and then when sin grows up and gets stronger and fitter, it has a child of its own named death. And James is telling us this so that we realize this process and this direction, and we don't just stand by and let this roll on. Because our lives are going to be full of opportunities, either to feed our sinful desires or to starve them. Either to say yes to our sinful desires, and it's like you say yes to a sinful desire, it's like putting out a bowl of food and say, here boy, here you go, come on, eat up, grow stronger, have more power in my life. And the end of that is not pretty. So I realize this is sort of a bit of a, like it's a, this is a pretty heavy way to start camp. It's not sort of a, self-esteem. But it'd be silly not to talk about these things just because they're not positive and uplifting. So imagine you had a stomach ache and you went to a doctor and the doctor did doctor tests and the tests showed up that you have appendicitis and you urgently have to have an operation. Okay, you really hope the doctor is not going to think to himself, oh, well, I know people don't like going to hospital, so I'll just tell him that it's a bit of indigestion and that he'll be fine. Like, you don't want to go to that doctor, do you? What you want is the doctor who tells it like it is. And James is that doctor. James says in verse 16, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. My dear brothers and sisters, I love you. I don't want you to be deceived. I want you to have your eyes open. I want you to know the problem of sin in your life. Now hopefully, having thought about this path towards death and realized that we're born on this path, hopefully, at some point we're starting to go, but I've got a question. But I've got a question I want to ask. And if anyone's kept up where we are in the notes, it's question two. Does anyone want to ask me that question?
What hope do I have?
Oh, great question. Verse 17 is where we find good news. Verse 17, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above. What James is saying is what we need an injection of God's desires in our heart, which will point our lives in a new direction. We sang in that song, that first song we did, something about like, Holy Spirit, come invade our lives. Was that the lyric? At first, like I thought, I'm like, do I want to be invaded? No, actually, I need to be. I need to be because naturally, I'm on the path towards death. But my hope is that I can't help myself, but I will get help from outside, from above. That, as James says in verse 18, it's a new birth. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. It's like God looks at us and says, I'm going to do something to change the direction of that person's life. So that when you hear the word of truth, when you hear the message about Jesus, about his life, about his death, about his resurrection, that he will work in your life, that you respond to it, you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you begin a new life and a new direction. If you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, it means God's Spirit has come alongside you and said, hey buddy, we're going to change course. We are going to go on a journey to the crown of life. And from now on, you're going to see my ways. You're going to begin to see that my ways are beautiful. You're going to have new desires, different desires. Can you see when James is talking about this birth within us, this new life within us, that he's not teaching that you are saved by good works. If you do good things, then you'll be saved. He's not teaching that. Remember where we started? The trials of life are a test that shows up what you're made of, shows up where you're going. The trials of life may show up that you're heading towards death, and if that's the case, that's because you're just following your own desires. But the trials of life might show up that you're heading towards the crown. And if you're heading towards the crown, why is that? It's because God has sent down his good gift into your life, that he has started something new and fresh within you. And so this leads to a really important question that I have for each of you. And that question is, how will you respond? See, on camp, my job is to try and explain the word of truth. I have it in front of me. I'll do my best to make clear and to not be boring. But how you respond is your responsibility. And I hope you've seen tonight, actually, there's really only two possibilities. Either as you hear God's word, you receive God's gift from above and you live by it, knowing that one day you will receive the crown of life. Or you ignore the truth. You keep living by your own desires. You keep doing whatever it is that you want to do. Please don't choose that second option, because we know where that option leads. This camp, we're thinking about practical Christianity. And James wants to point out, right in chapter 1, how important it is to be a practical Christian. See, being a Christian is not just about having certain opinions. It's not just about saying, oh yes, I am of the opinion that God exists. And I am of the opinion that he made the world and that he's probably nice. Being a Christian involves a deep change within us, which then shows itself in our daily lives. And any kind of Christianity which is not practical is not true Christianity at all. So my question, what's it going to be for you? What's it going to be in your life? How are you going to respond to the word of truth? Can I pray with you now? And then I think we've got a couple more songs. Our Heavenly Father, we know that your word exposes who we are, exposes our desires, our desires that want to drag us towards death, but we thank you for your grace and your generosity and your kindness that you give us your truth and you give us new life through that word. Please enable us to respond, to trust you, to live for you, and to receive the crown of life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.